hard. Well, when he was blowing us away, I think he struck out everybody. And I said, well, at that time I was tough to strike out. And I said, well, he's not going to get me. And after three pitches, I came back to the bench, laid my bat down. It was Nolan Ryan. I didn't open my mouth anymore.
So makes you think.
To see that there was something special there, although, you know, it was just fastball at that time.
Yeah.
I faced a lot of the good big league pitchers of that year. I never did face Koufax, though, so I can't comment on him.
Well, he never saw the minor leagues, so.
That's probably why.
Yeah, it's, I asked the fellas I interview, and, you know, I asked them who was the best player they played against, and if they played in the American League, it's Williams or Mantle or, you know, Mays or Musial, something like that in the National. But the pitcher question always gets them. They have to think, and a lot of them, like you, will end up naming several guys. There's just the ones that stand out, I guess, are so good you can't put one ahead of the others.
Yeah, you know, for instance, when I played in winter ball, Camilo Pascual was an outstanding pitcher and was very tough. He had one of the best curveballs going.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to hit. I was a good breaking ball hitter, and I didn't want to say I wore him out, but I did get some hits off of him, and I know that he. Ramos, who pitched on the same winter league team in spring training, were telling a lot of the people that, you know, this guy can hit.
Mm-hmm.
They were two tough pitchers.
Yes, they were. They were both. I guess if you'd given them a few more years, they were rushed to the majors with that horrible Washington team. A few more years and a little more hitting, they both could have been probably outstanding pitchers. And they were right. You could hit. The record's there. There's no question about that. In all your time in baseball, did you save souvenirs from your career?
Not as many as I should have.
I guess on the market today.
You know, I didn't really go into that a lot. I have autographed balls from different teams. And, of course, the pennant rings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I never went out of my way to save a whole lot of that stuff. But looking back at it, I certainly wish I had done that.
Yeah,
I have a fair amount, but not commensurate with my years in the game.
I think the players today are much more aware and are probably stashing more stuff away.
Oh,
but
hey, I'll just give you a quick example. You know, in 1985, when I was a coach with the Pirates,
mm-hmm.
our franchise fee was $3,500 each. For the major league logo and stuff.
Right.
In 1990, it was $58,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's how not only the memorabilia part, but, the selling of that stuff has progressed.
One fellow told me when he played, and he was probably from your time about that time, when they made the baseball cards, he said they gave the players a set of the cards. He says now he understands they're getting several thousand dollars a piece each year when the baseball cards are printed.
Well, Topps, at that time when they signed minor league players, and this was going on, in recent years, they would give them $5.
Oh, boy.
Then it evolved to, gifts that were a couple hundred dollars. And I know Louisville, I know Hillrich and Bradsby were, they were more generous at that time. When you first signed with them, I believe it was either $100 or a set of golf clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the golf clubs, which I'm glad I did.
Sure. It's a different world. This will appear in a magazine called Sports Collector's Digest. Are you familiar with it?
I don't know that I am.
It's a weekly publication, and it's just what it says. It's for sports card collectors, mainly baseball, but it also has some basketball, football, hockey, things like that. And we'll send you a couple of copies of it when it appears, and you'll be amazed at the things that are advertised and the prices they're asking for them. And one of the side effects of these interviews is the subject ends up receiving a very large increase in the number of autograph request he'll get for a period of a few weeks after it's printed.
You know, it's funny. I still get, you know, obviously the career wasn't big, so, you know, at a major level, so there are not that many, but there are some. And what is kind of funny, after all those years, you know, with being with Topps, I don't think Topps ever put a card out on me.
You want some minor league cards. I believe I looked it up, but I don't think...
But there is one company, and now, don't laugh at this now.
Okay.
it's OYW card.
OYW.
It's called One Year Wonder.
Oh, I've seen that set of cards, yes.
I get that frequently in the mail to autograph, and... It, you know, if you can laugh at yourself a little bit, it's a funny card. And obviously, during my era, when you played baseball, it wasn't like it is now. I mean, there were some vicious bench jockeys, and when you played on a team with Earl Weaver managing, there were always insults and all of that going between the teams. Most of them directed at Earl, but so... It's not the kind of kid gloves thing that it is now, and we're kind of used to abuse, and we're much more able to laugh at ourselves.
That's important than anything. You appeared on only one baseball card in your active career. That was 1961 when you were with Toronto. You appeared on three cards, the one-year wonder, and three other cards as minor league manager, 77 Salem, 80 at Buffalo, and 87 at Salem. So that's your five cards is what you...
Well, I have the, especially the Salem ones who were, you know, most recent.
Uh-huh.
I don't count the minor league ones.
Well, those are big business today, too.
Are they?
The minor league cards. There's a lot of people that collect minor league cards. They want to get the stars before they're major league stars. And there's a certain excitement to getting a minor league card of somebody like Eric Davis from this, you know, this area with a Cincinnati Fallout area here. As a minor leaguer, people are paying big dollars for those when they were printed a few years ago. Do you get the fan mail? It's all autograph requests?
Yeah, mostly.
And you sign?
Yeah, I don't get, like I said, I don't get that many. And if anybody is interested enough to write, I answer it in some form.
Well, you'll probably, I don't know what you get. I know you may not remember Nick Testa. You may have played against him, though.
I remember the name, yeah.
He played one game. Actually, he played two innings in the major leagues in one game. And I interviewed him, it's been a year ago. He said on the average year, he would get 10 autograph requests. And spoke with him shortly after the interview was published, and he had received almost 50 in the 2 weeks or so. So it will pick up.
Well, the thing that is, to me, obviously I thought I should have played longer in the big leagues and been given the opportunity and stuff, but although I wasn't a big leaguer, I played for the top minor league clubs in the area of the country where I wanted to stay. To me, Rochester was like a big league club. When I was there, obviously I wasn't going to Baltimore because Brooks was there, but I was a fixture there in the city, and the people running the club treated me like a big league player.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore paid me a big league salary, plus Rochester was involved. So, for me, playing conditions there, the city, the pay and stuff was big league, so I never, one term, and this upset me when I was in kind of the inner circle at Pittsburgh, when certain people would refer to people as, that guy, you know, he's a minor leaguer and that. And I'd say, wait a minute, no, that's not, that man is not a minor leaguer. He is a manager managing in the minor leagues, or he's a player playing in the minor leagues.
I understand, yeah.
And to them, And maybe I was overly sensitive because that was probably how I was referred to. I was not a minor leaguer in any way except playing there.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, there is that difference.
Yes, there are. There are a lot of minor leaguers, I suspect, playing major league ball.
There's one guy in particular that used that in. To him, it was kind of a put down to those specific people, players or managers that he was referring to, and I just couldn't let it ride. I said I might have played in the minor leagues, or they may be playing in the minor leagues, but in that term, they're minor leaguers, but not in the way that you're referring to them.
Well, good for you, and I agree with you 100%. Again, it's a relative thing, and I agree. Well, you spent a lifetime in baseball, actually. Shoot, from the time, I guess that's the only job you've ever had, isn't it?
Well, the only full-time job.
Yeah.
You know, early in my career, when you're managing, you have the winters off, and I was fortunate enough to be associated with the company, here in the Cleveland area that took me back whenever I wanted to come. And then, later on, when you became, AAA player and stuff like that, winter ball was available and managing in the winter league, so I did not need that anymore. But,
mm-hmm.
It's the only real full-time job that I consider that I had.
Well, would you go back to 18 years of age and do this all again?
Sure.
Without thinking?
Without thinking, because... at that time, I went to a small high school, probably 100 in the senior class. And, I was a pretty good athlete, and I was valedictorian. I had the opportunity to go to Notre Dame at the time, which, looking back now, you jump at that chance. But at that time, my family wasn't college-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped into baseball, and... Although, not having been a big league player for the amount of time I thought I should have been, you would say, well, yeah, if I would have done it differently, maybe I would have been. But no, I have no regrets. I've never looked back at what could have happened. When I was sent down from the major leagues without really getting an opportunity, I never went down and sulked. I went and, hey, go from there, because, you can look at your career in several ways. Somebody can say, hey, you weren't a big league player for very long. You weren't successful. But, that's like saying to a guy at General Motors that doesn't get to be president or something, you're not successful because you didn't reach the top job. I got there as a player and coach, and I feel my career was very successful.
The thing that a lot of people don't realize, and I find, I coach a kids team, whether that's the Stan Musial League, the 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, they don't understand, and the younger ones understand even less, the amount of talent and ability a fellow must have to play professional baseball, much less make it to the major leagues. And they think, because they say somebody who bats 240 in the major leagues, they say he's no good. This is a talent that so few people have and can develop that they've got to put it in perspective and realize how good that person is, even to get there for a cup of coffee, much less to be extremely successful at it. And a career as long as yours, with the numbers you put up at the level right under the top level, makes it pretty obvious that you were an exceptionally gifted ball player.
Well, one of the rude awakenings, not only for me when I started, and obviously early in my minor league career things went well, but even to the players that I signed and players that I saw when I was involved in, a running spring training. The rude awakening to some of these kids is the fact that, hey, man, I was the best in Homer City, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Now I go down there and I'm looking around, and hey, here's the best kid from Los Angeles, from Houston, who's bigger and stronger and has played more ball and all of this, and you start to, you know, you have to have some confidence that you can compete with them, but you do realize that, you know, you were good on in a limited area, and now you've got to do it with the boys from all over, or the kids from Latin America who play every day. So that's one of the things about scouting. You know, you go into an area and they say, well, hey, this guy hit 500 in high school and this and that, and how come he didn't get a chance? Well, you know, there's a whole lot of those kids in every area of the country.
That's something that a lot of people don't realize, that each one of those kids that you've got down there trying to develop is the best kid from his area. You know, they're all stars at home. And playing a 20-game high school schedule is...